The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
Welcome to the GAR. This is the football show sponsored by AIB. Myself and Conan are here in studio. We have Sligo manager Niall Carew, who's going to take a call from the airport. Sligo are currently in transit on the way to the Big Apple for the match at the weekend, and we're going to talk to Justin O'Halloran, who is the New York manager. Started last year, almost beat Roscommon, have a great chance of beating Sligo according to most people. They have a really strong team this year. Sligo are missing a few lads and the bookies have New York maybe a 3-1, so we're going to talk to him from New York. So we have a really good show lined up. A few talking points me and Conan want to get through at the start before we get into the two managers, and the first one is going to be a whinge, Conan, because haven't had a whinge since last Thursday or whatever last one was. But I say this every year and it gets so frustrating that first round of the championship is on this weekend, and I checked GAA.ie this morning, there is no mention of the first round of the championship on GAA.ie. Like, just let that sink into your head for a second. That'll show you it's not on TV. I was going to do a podcast. They actually had Niall Carew set up for next Monday to talk to us after the match, and then I contacted RTÉ and asked, is there anywhere I can watch the game? No, it's going to be on RTÉ Radio 1, so you have radio coverage of it, and RTÉ are like the main TV broadcast partners of the GAA, and they don't see it worthwhile to go over to the very first round of the championship. Like, when the Premier League kicks off, you bloody well know the Premier League is kicking off, isn't it the same case every year, that aren't they missing a trick, number one, by putting on a non-glamorous game as their number one instead of maybe the Ulster preliminary, which a lot of years is good, and number two, just letting it just happen without any real care. There won't even be a Sunday game about it. There'll be a little package put on the RTÉ News on 6 o'clock on Monday, and that's all we're going to get from the first round of the championship.
I mean, you made the example of the Premier League there. That's it happens all the time. Like, you know, when the World Cup starts, when the Euros start, there's a tournament atmosphere. Like, you know, even back home, you know, oh, happy days, I'm going to have a game every single night of the week now to watch. It should be the same with the GAA. It should be a game every Saturday, Sunday. You know when the GAA starts, this is GAA season. But yeah, it's not. There's no more games for another 2 weeks. I mean, this is the problem with the structure, I think, not to get under.
Yeah,
but
we won't get into the structure. No, but the first game of every tournament and every championship, or even if it's the FA Cup fifth round that's going to start, like the televised game, there's a big deal made about this, that this is it now. And the first game is a big bang. You know, we're really hitting this championship.
Yeah.
But we don't hit anything.
But it's hard to hit when the first game is
away in New York. Yeah.
And there's nothing for 2 weeks.
See, I don't use that. I don't think that's an excuse. Because I think going to New York can potentially be a lovely way, if RTÉ sent out a crew out there, did the game, interviewed some fans, did a nice package, nostalgia package. Say Kerry and Cavan played an All-Ireland final there. There's footage from that. Do a bit around that. Do a bit the night before. Like, I mean, use your imagination. Like, there's a huge day you could sit down in front of the TV at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening.
It's perfect time as well.
Perfect time. And, like, that's not, I don't think it's an excuse. It's just, I don't know what it is, because I don't work in RTÉ, but I cannot understand why, if they have their main rights, bloody will use them and put on the games and go to New York with a camera crew and make a good product out of this game. We used to do games with Wicklow and Laois down in Aucklin with News Talk on the radio, and we'd hype these up like these are great games. But, like, I mean, they are great. They're great games to the counties involved, so you have to give them, you know, that package. This is a big game to GAA people, because this is the first round of the championship. So give them that. Make it into a big game.
Yeah, and well, from my own experience, we used to do like a 64-page pull-out magazine of the Derry championship starting.
Yeah.
You know, there's not even 64 teams in Derry. Like, you got so carried away with it. But yeah, but I keep going back. Like, this could be a bigger, easier sell if you went to New York, say, on a Saturday, and that could be the start, and then you had an hour game on Sunday, a proper game. But in Connacht alone, like, there's no... London, Leitrim are out on the 28th of May. Mayo were playing the winners of this game the 21st of May, and then there's no actual good game in Connacht until the 11th of June. That's when Galway play, probably Mayo. Like, so it's hard to get excited when you know there's another 5 weeks really before this provincial championship kicks off. Never mind the rest of the championship.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. But it is still, if you look at it outside of being the first game in Connacht, it's the first game in Ireland.
Mm.
It's our first taste of championship action, and I think that should be, you know, that should be shown, and it should be kind of sold, and it should be excitement about it, bells and whistles, and let's hit off the championship with a bang. Even though it's not a big bang, but make it look like a big bang. Make it look like we care. Make it look like this is a big deal, and it can be. It is a big deal to New York people, which is a this is the biggest game in New York season. Let's hear something about the struggles of playing in New York. Let's hear about, we're going to talk to Justin O'Halloran in a while in the podcast, but let's get a flavour of what's it like to be a New York player. Let's follow a New York player for, like, since the start of the year and do a documentary on it. You know what I mean? Let's put some resources into it and do something about it.
And the thing is, we are missing a trick in a sense that they're probably all Irish, well, most of them would be as well. Like, so where are these lads coming from? Like, I remember there was a Derry lad in the team,
why,
and it made
you
it more
there?
Interesting for me. Like, you know, if you had a some sort of programme where you were saying this guy's coming from Derry, this guy's coming from Dublin, this guy's coming from Mayo, like, it would make
totally
sort of feed into it a lot more, and it's like, oh geez, these lads are just immigrants. Like, I might be next year, or like, I know this guy is, or
yeah.
We're just like, we're forgetting that these boys are made up of Irish players as well.
Exactly. And there's a lot of the New York team with inter-county either league or championship experience. But anyways, we'll leave that there because it's probably not going to change. It's never bloody on television. I think they're missing a huge trick. More news, Conan, is Jim Gavin has been given 2 extra years. Am I right in saying that? It's until 2019. And obviously, from the Dublin County Board's point of view, this is a no-brainer. This is... I was wondering, was it a no-brainer for Jim Gavin? Because... like, I mean, the workload that's put into inter-county management now, and he's like, you know, he's not retired or anything yet. He's still in the army, and he's got a pretty high job as a pilot in the army. So I was thinking maybe Jim would come in and give it a quick hit for 3 years, win bloody every match, and then get the hell out of there. But no, he's staying on for 2 more years. And like, from a Dublin point of view, I criticise Jim Gavin a lot, only because he's almost like a robot or like a machine where there's no emotion out of him whatsoever.
You never really criticise his management, like,
no,
his
never criticise his management. Like, what he's done with Dublin has been outstanding, there's no doubt about that. And it's a bit like Cody with Kilkenny. Like, the skill that they have is keeping everybody on that panel happy. The talent is there. I don't want to diminish their job because they have loads of talent. Like, Jim Gavin wouldn't win anything if he's with Leash, for example. He's not going to turn water into wine. But, like, I mean, managing those big name players and keeping that squad of 30 happy and playing really good football, and, like, let's not pretend Dublin don't have tactics and aren't got great game plan. Like, he's doing all of that.
Mm. Yeah, well, like, and you're saying it's a risk, but maybe it's... like, maybe it's not really. If you got such a good team, he's driving a Rolls Royce, really. It's not going to get any harder for him, I don't think. Like, he could go out at the top, having won, well, he's won 3 championships in 4 campaigns now. He'll probably
is
won.
Is he only two? He's two in a row.
13, 15,
oh, yeah, 16. 13, 15, 16. Yeah, 3 out of 4.
4 out of 5 leagues so far. Like, you know, he could go out and just sort of dying out on that for the rest of his life, but he'll probably, well, he definitely will win another.
He's gone for the 5 in a row, I think.
Jesus, I don't know if he gets 5 in a row.
Well, he can. In 2019 is the 5. This year's 3 in a row. Then he's going 4-5 and he's out the door. So we know what you're at, Jim. But yeah, his I don't know if this was a statement or this was true. He was talking, but like I said, he's a little bit like a robot. But this is what he was talking about. Because you never think Jim Gavin's enjoying himself. You think, like, Jesus, he's the dullest man you've ever met. Yeah. And even the night after an All-Ireland win, he's talking about the following year and the process in the Burlington, like in the City West after the win. Mm. He doesn't even look like he's enjoying that. But these are some of the quotes that I pulled out that I was reading. He says, "I'm enjoying it."
Right? You're on the
one. Oh, no, stay with me here now. "I'm enjoying it. It's an absolute privilege to be working with this group of players. There's a lot more talent being developed by the clubs, and you're excited to get working with these players. I'm having great fun and enjoyment in the role with great energy to it. I'm delighted the county board put this offer on the table." So in 3 sentences, I've got enjoying, excited, fun, enjoyment, energy, delighted.
Having got that in 3 years.
Like, they're your superlatives there, Conan. That's your kind
this
of
is
game.
What the GAA is all about. Yeah, well, the thing, like, my thing that impressed me most about Jim Gavin is that the longest I've ever had a manager with was 4 years. like, and it gets bloody like tiresome after a while listening to, like, you know, my favorite ever coach. I could, like, I hated him by the end of it. It was like, get out of my face. But what he did well sometimes then was he started delegating and letting other guys take the session. He sat back and it's a fresh voice, and this must be the hardest thing for a manager to do, but it's probably the most effective if you can get it right, is to actually let other people take over, delegate well, and then let somebody else sort of get through your message. Like, because you can't, after a while, boys are human, they start hating you, they start hating coming to training, hate the sound of your voice, you sound repetitive yourself, and you start doubting yourself then. So what he's done well, as much as we slagged the big squad that Dublin have, it's, he's done really well to sort of get them all together and actually having an input on the
team. That's an interesting one, because when I was captain of Portlaoise in 2004, I was very conscious of talking all the time and being the only one. So, like, I mean, captain would often talk the night before in a meeting, and then you're supposed to talk maybe in the warm up, and then you're talking again in the huddle, and I was like, oh Jesus. So in the huddle for matches, I'd always ask one of the other fellas on the team, here, you talk in the huddle here, I can't be talking that much, you know, that kind of way, like, Jesus, because there's only so much you can say, it's repetitive, and then the huddle means nothing. Instead of getting a bit of a hit out of the huddle, it's like, oh Jesus, you're just saying what you said to us last night or whatever. It's always difficult to find angles with that. But Jim was just mentioning, he said he didn't like the narrative that was out there that Dublin is a cynical team. Now, there's no I don't know where he's getting this from. This is a bit of a straw man, because there's no narrative that Dublin are a cynical team. I think what Eamon Fitzmaurice says is that Dublin are no angels. Mm. And being a he referenced Dublin's record with black cards. And Dublin have a brilliant record with black cards. Like, Dublin 100% believe Jim Gavin, they go out to play football. But Jim, they're not angels. Like, you have players right throughout your team that will get away with the dark arts if they can, and everybody is aware of that. Nobody is suggesting that Dublin are a cynical team, because they're not. Now, they can be cynical. Kieran Kilkenny pulled down or swung out of a Kerry lad when they were trying to get the game back in Killarney. Can't make those claims, Jim, that you're not a cynical team. Every team is cynical at the right time of the game. In general, probably you're not. You're not into fouling, you're not into tactical fouling. But you can't make that blanket statement that we're not a cynical team. Every team, maybe they're not a cynical team, but every team is capable of cynicism. Yeah. And, you know, he referenced Lee Keegan's goal in the All-Ireland final, that if they were a cynical team, Lee Keegan would have been dragged down.
Interesting that he remembers that.
Was interesting, but Lee Keegan came late onto that ball. I don't know what opportunity would have had. Maybe they would have pulled him back or something. But, like, I mean, that kind of, I'm not sure that was the right example.
I remember he got away from Connolly, because I kept watching it back in a dark room thinking, how did this happen, Jeremy? And he got away very deep, and he sort of ran past someone else in the Dublin jersey. Like, there was no contact. But
no, Connolly, sort of, maybe he's saying, because Connolly's off on two blacks in a row, that Connolly could have pulled his jersey back. So maybe he's saying Connolly's not, in not so many words, Connolly's not that type of player. I'm not too sure. Here's another quick one before we move on, is Connolly's on two black cards. Three black cards and you get a suspension. Mm. Should Connolly get a black card in the first round of the Leinster?
Absolutely.
When you think so? And serve a suspension in case.
Is it for the whole season, three black cards?
Wish you didn't ask me that, because I don't know. It probably should, or else why then he would just, you're saying it could be scratched back to zero after the Leinster Championship. I'm pretty sure it's whole year.
Competition, maybe? Or like,
it's all the one competition, isn't it? It's all you're in the All-Ireland series. But look,
Maybe Jim is just thinking now that they've lost the league, he's playing smart now and saying it's a 3-year plan. he's playing the long game.
This is his 5 in a row plan. That's what I'm going to call this. Jim Gavin, this should be the headline. Jim Gavin commits to Dublin in a bid to win 5 in a row.
By the time this podcast is out, that will be on our site.
Don't put it on our site. Okay, Paddy Brophy, quickly, before we get into Niall Carew, he is back from Australia. And I saw some quotes from his manager, Keane O'Neill. This was news from last week, obviously, and we're going to try and get Paddy Brophy on the show. He's not home yet. O'Neill says, when he comes home, he needs to make sure mentally, as well as physically, socially and emotionally, that he's in a good place. And that's fair enough, because I'm sure Paddy had hopes and dreams, and we spoke to Kevin Feely about, you know, adapting back into life after not making it in England, and he said it was difficult, but he had a soft landing in that he had accepted over there that he wasn't making it. It didn't come as a surprise. But Paddy Brophy, maybe, you know, needs to deal with the fact that, look, that dream is over now, and now I'm back. And I suppose for players, that's a difficult thing.
Yeah, like, I remember you were talking earlier about the percentages of guys that are making it over there.
Yeah,
I mean, this is sort of like the reality of every professional sport.
Yeah,
I mean, he went over. It's probably tough. He said he was homesick in his statement when he was coming back, but he gave it a shot. Like, you know, why not? And he probably did enjoy himself for the 2 years he was out there. Like, you know, and now he's coming back home where he wants to be. He's professionally trained. He's got a bit of money from it. Good experience. I don't think it's all that bad of a situation.
Yeah, it depends what you're going out for. Like, I'm sure, like, that's okay on the face of it. And if you're going, I'm sure when he's going out, he's not saying, I'm going out for 2 years for a good experience. He's going out there thinking, I could be a professional athlete for the rest of my life and make a lot of money. So there is a disappointment there, as in, look, I'm home. Obviously, when you look at it in hindsight and you say, geez, that actually turned out to be a great experience and it helped my football career, well, the proof will be in that. But when you look at it, though, Conan, the amount of players that don't make it, and, like, I mean, I just wrote some of them down. You've Brendan Quigley, Colin Begley, Caelan Mooney, John Heslin, Mickey Quinn, James Keel, Tommy Walsh, Kieran Kilkenny, Chrissy McCaig, Brendan Murphy. They're some of the biggest names in GAA now, have all gone out there. And for a combination of different reasons, obviously Australian fellas have got 18 years on you at the skills of the game. So you're already playing catch up. You're playing catch up physically because they're, you know, in a professional environment. You're on your own. You're homesick. You're only 18.
Yeah.
Like, think of what you're trying to do. Like, this is me and you heading to college for the first time. Imagine, remember how immature you are and living on your own. You're going to Australia, which is 24 hours away from your family, to get home. You're training with a crowd of lads you don't know. You're living with a family that you don't know. You know, training might not be going well. Who do you talk to? Australian fellas can be dickheads, a lot of them. Like, they can. Like, who are you going to box off and have a good, proper, you know, friendship with? Some of them are lucky enough that there's an Irish fella at the club that they go to. You know, Zach too, he was at Carlton when Sheehan and when Byrne went out there. So at least they had Zach to maybe help them out and show them the ropes. But there's so many factors that are pointing towards, mate, you better get used to the fact that you're only going out here for 2 or 3 years and you're coming home.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you use Kevin Feely, because there's a guy in his same underage team from Derry at Chirton, Mikael Kennedy, and I spoke to him recently, but he went over to Chirton, like, he went into London when he's 16 years of age, so he doesn't know anyone. He's living in one of the biggest cities in the world. He said some Australians are dickheads. I mean, that could be applied to some English people as well.
And but, Irish, I suppose.
Yeah, well.
Well, I'm stereotyping the Australians from the about 10 I met when I was over there.
But it's probably even harder again. They play, like, you know, they make it in the soccer world. NFL stats are ridiculous, like how many people make it. That's the sad reality of wanting to make it in professional sport. And that's a gamble you take. And I know, like, I'm probably guilty of it. When I was back in Derry working on a paper, the amount of stories we did of young guys going over to England, and we're sort of the ones as well feeding them this idea, like, oh my God, you're going to make it, because we're doing an interview and we sort of want to keep in contact with them then in case they do make it. But, like, we're still the set. Like, the reality is there's only, like, four of them from Derry that's still playing a bit of football and getting money for it over in England. Like, the amount that go over every year, we do these same stories. But we never do the stories then when the guys are back at 18 and they're pissing outside some bar or whatever.
Back, yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, like, your man from Derry said that there were five lads from Ireland that went over to play football for Chirton. Four of them aren't even playing soccer anymore.
Yeah, no, I listen, there's a huge fall. Only four Aussie-Irish Gaelic footballers in the new age, because this experiment started back in the 80s and players went over. And
Toehill didn't even make it.
Toehill, yeah. Then it stopped. And then it started back up with Tadhg Kennelly, and now there's trials every year, so back around the 2000s. But since that, Tadhg Kennelly, Zach Toohey, Pierce Hanley and Marty Clark are the only players you could say properly made it over there. And Marty Clark would have, only he had that illness, and he's back now not even playing Gaelic football. But, like, some of them, like Colin Begley, had one good year, then it didn't work out for a couple of reasons. And Begley made a very good point to me before in saying that when you go for trials, you're tested on your physical makeup, you're tested on your skills with the oval ball, you're tested on a lot of physical attributes. There's never a personality test, maybe there is now, to say you're a quiet sort of a fella. You might not integrate into this squad. You might kind of isolate yourself and be a little bit lonely out there. You need to be a certain type. And Colin Begley often compares himself to Brendan Quigley, who are at the same club out there. And like Brendan wouldn't kind of entertain lads the way Begley would, you know, that kind of way. Brendan would be more set in his way. It's while he's sound, he's still, like, he wouldn't be entertaining these Aussie fellas, or mightn't have much in common with them, whereas Begley would be a really outgoing social fella who could go on the beer with anybody at all and wouldn't really mind him. And people, I don't think they're taking that into consideration.
And that's what a lot of sports do seem to do better, maybe, than this example. Like, they're so tough on the young ones, and it's probably almost testing them to see how well you're going to cope with this, because it's only going to get harder when you get older, like, and that happens across the board in all our sports. But what the AFL are doing is taking lads who are ready made in the GAA game, so they're not really testing that, they don't have the chance to start pushing them and seeing how they'll cope out in Australia. They're just trying to get a cheap sort of bargain for themselves, like, you know, and it's no odds to them if it doesn't work. Like, yeah, you know, they might as well just take people over, and if it comes good, happy days.
Yeah, because when you're on the first 2 years contract, it's not like you're breaking the bank over there. You have to get over that and then get yourself established in the first team, and then you're on good money. So you're actually not making even good money when you go out there and don't actually make it, you know. So there are a lot of risks. And look, I'm not trying to talk any Irish players from doing it. It would be an unbelievable experience.
Would you have done it?
100% would have, yeah. But with my personality, would I have lasted long out there? It's hard to know. But, like, I mean, I played compromised rules at a very young age, but there was no trials back then. Like, I would have been very confident to have been able to get a trial, you know, or something. Yeah. But it just wasn't around then. But, like, 100% you're taking it up. But don't be dreaming of a long-term career out there, because the reality is a lot different.
Yeah, and there's some benefits that you come back in amazing shape. You've been exposed to the lifestyle and how you should be training and how you should be eating and all this and that. Like, you know, all the boys do. I know a couple of lads from college and they've come back animals, like, and some of them are real beanpoles when they went over. Like,
yeah.
And I'd love to just do that for 2 years even and come back a lot better. But this is the toughest thing about it out there, is that it's not Leash or Offaly or whatever anymore. Like, if you get injured, there's so many other boys they can just put under the team, and then the sad thing is, if you get injured, you're probably not going to get back in the team, or even a long way back.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the isolation and being injured at home is so difficult, but being injured out there in a new environment and not having your family around, that must be the real difficult part about it. But anyways, that's all we have time for now. We'll be back in a second with Niall Carew.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens, yeah. And it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show didn't look great, there was, maybe if they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually, it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out terrible, but unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
AIB, back in club and county.
Yes, Sligo manager Niall Carew joins us on the line now. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Niall. You're currently in transit to New York.
Yeah. Look, it's I suppose up this stage of the call, and now we're heading off. Everything's organised now. Lucky enough that we had a good logistics manager in Peter Green, the county treasurer, who looked after everything getting across, which I suppose just meant ourselves and the coaching staff just get the stuff right ready for the field, you know. So yeah, look, this stage part. So once we get over, it'd be all systems go then.
Yeah, it must be a real strange build up to a game though, Niall, because, like, I mean, you like to keep the team focused in the couple of days leading up to a championship game, but like, there's the natural excitement of going to New York to contend with.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose, you know, when you're in Leinster, you don't have to come across any of this, so it's strange, and it's a different environment as well, in terms of, you know, different pitch. We're going to be playing a Leinster pitch, so you've all got to contend with as well. And you know yourself from playing on both surfaces that it's completely different, and I suppose some players are kind of suited to the Astra and others aren't. So, you know, we've all got to look at. So preparations have been quite different than normal.
Yeah, and so what's your routine now for today and tomorrow and Sunday?
Yeah, we're meeting for lunch now at 12 o'clock. It's here in the airport, and we're flying out at 4. We'll arrive then in New York, and I suppose our hotel is out in Pearl River there, so it's about an hour and a half from the airport, about 45 minutes from Manhattan. We won't have any meeting tonight. We trained in Bangkok on Monday, so what we'll do is we'll just go to bed then, and we get up on Friday morning, and we'll have our dinner and go to bed, and we'll have our dinner Friday morning, and then we'll head out to Gaelic Park then for a training session. Just a nice training session on Friday. and then we come back. Then the usual crack down with lunch and get a bit of downtime. Lads were fairly tired, I imagine, then, so we'll take a lunch period and we'll just have a team meeting and just go through video stuff, the usual, I suppose, crack and dash.
Yeah.
And then have our dinner and bed again, and then Saturday morning we've got, I suppose, we've duties to do over in New York as well, Colin, just to coaching with kids that you have to do. It's kind of part of the whole routine with Andy Connacht team going over.
Okay.
So I suppose players that are not involved, I'm bringing 31 players with me, that are not involved will help out in that. Get the lads to stretch their legs. I won't go to Gaelic Park on Saturday because you know yourself going in and out in the traffic and that, it just could be too tiring for them. So we're just going to have a light kick around on the Saturday out in Rockland there, which is about a half an hour from the hotel. That'll cut down the travel time. And then we'll have a good bit of downtime again, maybe 3 or 4 hours. They won't be going into Manhattan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because, you know, they're in New York and the temptation is to see the Empire State Building and stuff like that. But I suppose that's definitely a no-no the day before.
Yeah, absolutely no, that won't happen. There's a local shopping centre up from us. Might go up for coffee there for an hour, chill out. And then we'll come back then and we'll get the game heads on then. So it'll be as you are then, as if you're only travelling over. If we were going to Tipperary to play them and you're staying overnight then, so the whole routine will set and play then and we'll get the game heads on then, and that'll be it then. Sunday we'll have to play the Clark and hopefully put in a big performance and hopefully that's enough then.
Yeah, so how much planning would have gone into the weekend like this? Because I know like all the stories that came out of the Roscommon game last year was that, you know, they took their eye off the ball, they went over and the talk was they went to fundraisers, some of the players even went to the fundraisers, you know, and they made that mistake. How much advice have you, you know, sought for, you know, best practice when you're heading over there?
Yeah, look, I spoke to Kevin McStay and in fairness to him, he's very helpful. You know, he would have felt to got a few things, they would have done things differently this year if they were going across. So I took his advice on that. I spoke to Tommy Breheny, who was over here with in 2007 with Sligo. And I also spoke to Kevin Walsh, who was here with Sligo as well. So I suppose, look, I there's no point ringing these lads if you don't take their advice. So I took their advice on board. And you know, the idea would be less is more from all three, you know, when you're over here, to get as much rest as possible. And that's what we'll do. But at the same time, you don't want to undercook the lads either, so just to get that balance right. But look, we're going over here, Colin, with our eyes wide open. There, if New York has it to be on merit, it won't be an ambush or anything like that because we know exactly what we're going into. Yes, we're down Niall Murphy, our best forward, no doubt he's our talisman. But other lads have stepped up to the plate, in fairness, and we have the experience of Adrian Meyer and Mark Brehany and Hughes and these lads up front. So we're very happy with them. David Kelly's also going very well, so I'd be happy with that as well. So we're going in here with our eyes wide open. We're expecting a huge challenge from, and I don't say that lightly, because from New York, when you're going through the players, and I don't know, you played with Sylvester, did you?
Parnell's.
So but you would have come across Shane O'Connor, you know, and Sutcliffe as well, and then you go through their team with Cunningham full back, you got a run for Galway a few times, Kieran Quinn and John McCartan then would have played with Down in league and championship, McGrainer then good there for Wicklow, nearly best meet on his own 2 years ago. Then you have Eugene McFerrie from Armagh and McKenna as well, so you know, to have you know, a good solid team. And you know, when I'm going through their team, like the majority is, there's 13 of them lads would have played National League or Championship, you know. So we're not going over, I suppose, like other years that you're facing lads that are only average club players and are looking forward to playing against the county team. These are lads that have done it before, so they're not going to fear Sligo, and we know that. So we're going to have to put in a performance to get over the line.
Yeah, how does doing your homework for New York differ to another county? Because I suppose you can get the tape of last year's game with Roscommon off Roscommon, but like there's been such a turnover of players with New York, and that's the challenge against them. It's like there's so many new players that you don't really know what to expect from them this year, you know, game plan wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you'd expect to see them, I suppose, because they haven't played many times together, that it can be very dangerous because they don't have a game plan in terms of, I'm sure they do, but you know, when you haven't played too many games together, it's very hard to have a defined game plan. So it's a bit like, you know, you would have played under Mick O'Dwyer. Mick was team, a lot of us played off the cuff and yeah. energy and things like that, which is very hard to plan against. So I suppose that's something that we have to win an awful lot of battles here ourselves, individual battles, to make sure that we stifle that. And I suppose that's the way we worked in that, and I suppose ringing around different contacts that you have all over the country, you know, especially up north and around Dublin and things like that, that you'd be trying to nail these lads, making sure what's their best attributes and the usual stuff, Colin, yeah. that goes into organising for every game. But it is a bit more difficult in terms of what way to play, because most teams have a set way of playing, and you can, you know, you can, I suppose, train for that and set yourself up for that. But look, this is going to be a massive game for us, and I think if we come out of this, it'll set us up well going forward. But it is a massive challenge, you know, point saying it isn't.
Yeah, even that, another small thing, the Connacht Championship, like, you can actually, you're playing Leitrim or you're playing Galway, you can get the lads naturally fired up to play their neighbours. But when you're playing New York, everybody looks at New York as in, ah, isn't that great for them out there, the way they're keeping it going? Yeah. And people look upon them as like a real plus for the GAA community that's there. So there's not that kind of natural kind of motivation that you can use against New York.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing. And I suppose for us, we just have to focus on making sure that we're not the team that's beaten out there. And I suppose that's motivation enough for us that you'd be too proud for that as players and as management. So I suppose that's the thing, that I suppose what's common has is an edge from last year. There's a fair edge to this team going out there. And we haven't looked at anything in relation to the next round. Our biggest focus since the league finish, Colin, was solely in New York. We've only trained on Astra pitches since the National League finish. That's how serious we're taking. We are taking this game. And I think that has worked well for us, because I've seen players that are just better suited. A bit like a racehorse, you know, a different ground. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's kind of, it's similar to that, believe it or not. And I suppose, look, there's two or three players that have been playing tomorrow that normally wouldn't be playing if it was on grass. So I think that's the way to go. And no, we're looking forward to it now. And as I said, we're going in with our eyes wide open.
Yeah, it's supposed, the bounce of the ball is the most important thing. When I played with Parnells, we trained on an Astro pitch an awful lot, and it is really that bounce that catches you, and it does take a while to get your eye in. But like, if you've been training on the Astro for that long, I suppose getting challenge games off other teams, I think I saw you saying that, is difficult, but like maybe just A's versus B's will get you by.
Yeah, that's all we could do. No team is going to play us, Colin, on that, because obviously it's no benefit to any manager. I wouldn't play in it if a county manager asked me, you know. So yeah, look, it is, and I suppose the first thing you have to know, as you know yourself from playing an Astro, is that you just have to bag the first ball, or the first attack that comes into your, that first initial ball that comes in. You know, if it goes away from you, it's gone. So it's just to make sure that you gather it first time, and I think if you do that, you're away, then it's very hard to defend, and that goes for both sides. So I suppose that's what we've been working on a good bit, is making sure that a first touch is quite good. And that the right type of ball is going in. I know from the game of Park too that the bounce is probably higher than most Astro pitches. It's a little bit firmer. So look, we get a feel of that now tomorrow, and we're looking forward to that, just the whole logistics of that. So yeah, look, we prepare very well, and look, in management, all you can do is put all your ducks in a row and set everything up. And we've been very lucky that the county board have plan a massive trip for us, and the way I wanted it in terms of preparation, and we're staying out here till Thursday as well, because I want to get a couple of sessions in, some windows of draw, just to use as a training camp as well. So I suppose it's good if you know, when we're out here, we might as well use the benefit of everything when we're here. But look, we will be without Kevin McDonald and Gerard Kelly Lynch and Luke Nicholson, and I suppose Kevin and Gerard are two established players for me. Kevin, my full back, and Jared Wingback played very well all year, and was the driving force for the 121 team that were very unlucky against Galway in the Connacht final. So they're two massive losses, and you know, I would have thought common sense would have come into play with the Connacht council in terms of fixing this game. And I know they have it on, you know, the same date every year, but every 6 or 7 years, Colin, the way the bank holiday falls, that it just happens to be that this weekend there's no bank holiday, but every other weekend I think the days would correspond to the bank holiday.
Yeah.
But you'd imagine common sense would have come into play, because I know the Sligo officials were disappointed that it wasn't on the bank holiday weekend. They wasn't happy with it, but they only had two votes in terms of that fixture. But surely to God, common sense would have come into play. Kevin McDonald and Jacky Lynch deserve their chance to play in the championship match, because at the end of it you can play all the National League you want, but we all want to play a championship. This is what you want to play, and they've robbed lads of that chance of playing championship next year, or this year, or the first round. And it's a pity. And look, we were quite weakened because of not having Jared and Kevin on our team, and to a lesser extent Luke, because he's only new in the panel.
So people are wondering why you don't have them, they're doing exams, and they're starting their exams on Monday, and you requested a Connacht Council to move it to the previous Monday where they wouldn't have exams and would be able to travel, and you're voted down at a Connacht Council meeting. Did you get any support from the other counties?
As far as I know, it was a done deal before even we got hold of this. You know, like, the boys would have come over to me, say, in February, January or February, and said, look, our exams could be cash, and there's no date though for exams. But, you know, as far as I know, then that date was kind of stolen, and that was it. It was on that week, and it wasn't for moving, you know. So we, in terms of the GPA, we were on to Dermot Early and Paul and Adam Cairns and these lads, and in terms of they tried their best to see to get exams moved with NUIG and DCU and colleges like that, but in fairness to them, they can't alter it for a GAA match either.
No. Well, so you'd imagine going the GAA route would be easier than changing their exams. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but by all accounts it was cast in stone, and so that's where we're at, because I know from talking to one or two Sligo officials, they were disappointed with that fixture as well. And then you have the turnaround then, that you're back, and if we're lucky enough to win, you're playing Mayo then 10 days after, which is crazy. Again, you're out, you know, you're out the following Saturday or Sunday week, so there's no respite at all. Look, I'm sure, in fairness, they have the reasons behind it, and they would be able to give you a better explanation than me, but with only seven teams in the Connacht Championship, I don't know if it could be structured a little bit better. See, maybe Roscommon are now to the 11th or 12th of June, and we'd have, please God, two games played and maybe three games played.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. They need to look at it a bit more. But yeah, I think for this game in particular, common sense should have prevailed to put it on every bank holiday weekend. It's a bit like in Fairy House, the Irish Grand National is on every bank holiday weekend. So at Easter, you know what I mean, it's on every bank holiday weekend, so at least then they won't run into this problem again if it's on every bank holiday weekend rather than a set date.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because, which you know as well as I do, that's always the attitude of the GAA. It's always been done like that, and then nothing ever changes, and it's like computer says no type of attitude.
That's
because
right.
Like, you know, the week before your lads could have played, and even next weekend there's a free weekend, although that might be on top of the Mayo game, which would be fair enough, but moving it a week before. One other thing I wanted to ask you before I go, like, I mean, there's been no promotion around this game. Like, the championship kicks off this weekend, it's not on TV. Like, I was going to get you on the podcast on Monday instead after the game, and then I contacted RTE and the game's not being shown anywhere, it's on RTE radio, and then I was saying, how can I do a podcast if I haven't even seen the game?
You know,
it's an awful damp squib of a game that it's so important you could get caught. You're kicking off the championship, and sure, it's just being treated like, let's just get this one out of the way, you know, which isn't ideal even for your preparation mentally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's why we have to make sure that we treat this with a lot more respect than it's probably been given. You know, it's probably a headache for Croke Park if they're being honest, more than anything, because if New York do win, I'm sure it could throw up plenty of talk, and you know, with lads, can they all travel back and things like that, because the game is fixed then in Castlebar for the start of the week, while lads are fixed to work out there and things like that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's a massive headache for Croke Park if the truth was known. But I suppose for us, look, I've no control over that in terms of the media thing, but yeah, you'd imagine that because it's the first championship game, there would be a little bit more media attention around it and things like that, but it probably suits us that there isn't as much, you know. But look, it is what it is. I suppose my job, Colin, is to make sure that I have these boys focused for this massive game. And it's the first time I'm heading to New York, so I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, I must be, honestly, I asked you to start. It must be a really weird dynamic because you're, like, I mean, anyone in the airport heading to New York is like, you know, looking forward to a pint and heading over. And it's just, I'd say just mentally, it must be a really, really weird thing for everyone to be there, but be there, on, you know, kind of as a professional athlete, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you've nailed it there as a professional athlete. And all of our guys, the more than myself, like, I've a young family, and same with Noel Maguire and Keith Carr to my backroom team, and Mark Fataris and John Donnelly. And like, we all have children and family, and we take a week's holidays, which is fine for us because, you know, we love it. And we all get expenses. There's no point saying we don't. We all do get our expenses. But it doesn't cover you for the time that's put in. And like, all the players that have to take a week's holidays here. And like, there's no expense for that. You get $40 a day for 4 days. That's what you get,
right?
And that's from the Connacht Council. And in fairness, they obviously don't have the funds either. But you'd imagine that Croke Park would step in and say, look, let's reimburse these lads for a week's wages at least.
Yeah, because they do. I know the compromise rules get a nice, they get a nice allowance for the days they go over there. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, there you are. And there's nothing there for these boys. And this is a real test for us now, you know. And again, lads have to take a week out of work, make sure they have things in place, leave their families behind, because gone are the days now that you're going over to play a New York team that are just spread with club players that can't make county teams.
Yeah.
These are county players now that are over there for their careers. And a lot of them are there for the long haul, you know.
Yeah. Your next most immediate job now is getting them all through immigration, so you can breathe a sigh of relief when they all pass through there.
Yeah, well, look, as I said, Peter Green is looking after all of this for us. So I'm lucky there, Colin. I'm going to be just... the only good thing is that I don't have 3 kids and a wife with me trying to bait them through immigration. So I'll be able to relax for a while, but without a pint, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course. Listen, Niall, thanks very much for taking the call.
No matter, any time, Colin.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're at home about, where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient, but this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it 3 times.
It's in around it. But you're looking at me, you're looking
well,
at me
a crowded area, isn't it?
You're looking at me with such a confused confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
All right, so we're joined now by New York manager Justin O'Halloran. Justin, how's it going?
All good. Now, Colin, how are you?
All good, all good. You're in confident mood ahead of the game on Sunday for a change for New York.
Yeah, no, just kind of need to be confident anyway for the fellas to keep their confidence up. So we're in a good place now. We have a good team selected, so hopefully on Sunday they perform and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of people predicting this is a real banana skin this year for Sligo. Really based on, you know, how close you ran Roscommon last year.
Yeah, we were unlucky last year, obviously. We had a good game, so whether it's a banana skin for Sligo or not, we'll see on Sunday, but hopefully it is.
Yeah.
But if we perform to what we are capable of, we should be in the mix anyway.
Yeah, because you took over only last year, you know, and there's been marked improvements in the performance, definitely against Roscommon last year, and you have a real strong team put together again this year, at least on paper. Anyways, what did you work on when you took them over, Justin, or what did you want to try and change?
Pretty much just a bit of pride in the jersey and a pride for your teammates and, you know, you play for each other, not for yourself, sort of a thing. And the lads fed into it and we put a system together and they fed into the system and they performed with it, so that's basically it.
Yeah, is that difficult to kind of develop that team spirit over in New York? Because they all play for different clubs. They might not all live near each other. You can't get that, maybe that kind of county feel that you know, the natural counties home in Ireland can get.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there are a couple of different areas where fellas live in Queens, Yonkers, Bronx, and Manhattan. So, no, they all hang out together, you know, in Queens, and the boys in Yonkers hang out with each other and that. So it was easy enough now to get them to pull together.
Right. But then I suppose with New York, the turnover of players every year. Like, I mean, I was cross-referencing the team you have this year to the team you have last year, and there's a huge kind of influx of new players. So you never really know the hand that you have until the new year starts.
Well, that's the kind of the biggest drawback we have. You know, like, lads will be here for a year and they'll go home. But you'll get new lads out. You have to try and get them into the same way of thinking. But we're lucky enough with the ones we have that they are on the same road that we're going on, you know. And they want to do it. They want to wear the New York jersey and have pride in wearing it. So,
yeah, that's half
thank
the battle.
God.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like, knowing from my experience going to New York, I'm going to New York to get away from the commitment of county football. So, like, I mean, is there fellas that are landing out there and you're trying to get them to commit to the New York jersey, but they're just not in that kind of headspace to do it?
Yeah, there would be a few lads now that wouldn't have come in, you know, the work commitments and basically just to get away from football, you know, and we respected that and we didn't put pressure on them. They said if they want to come in, they can come in. And most of them did, but a few of them didn't, and unfortunately, some good ones now, but we weren't going to beg people to come in, so the ones we have is what we went with.
Yeah. What's your routine for training? Like, I mean, we hear at home here there's teams training upwards of six times per week. How hard are you training the county team?
Right, well, we'd be training collectively three times a week on the pitch, like, and then there'd be two nights a week that they'd be doing gym work collectively, you know, like.
Really?
Queens lads, yeah. And then, so, be honest with you, nowadays, young fellas, they all want to look good and whatever, so they go to the gym every day anyway.
Yeah.
Not like years ago.
Yeah, well, when the weather's good in New York in the summer, they have to look good for the beach, isn't that it?
That's it for strutting their stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Come here, what do you do over the winter then when it's snowing?
Well, to be honest, we were very lucky. I think we had only one night that we couldn't train because of snow. The rest of it now, like, there was obviously a little bit of snow, but we could still get on the pitch and we could still play away, you know?
Yeah.
And train away.
Well,
it was very cold, all right, but you just put on that extra layer of clothes and away you go.
Right, okay. I know from working out there, the routine during the week is pretty difficult. Always when you come home, you always think, oh, that was a brilliant summer, and you forget about the hardship of working on the building site and getting up at 6 a.m. and getting home at 7. Is it difficult to get the lads? You've outlined a pretty, you know, disciplined routine there for them with gym two nights a week and then training three nights a week. Is it difficult knowing that a lot of them would be in construction, you know, trying to get them to train that hard on top of all that?
It is, to be honest, no, like, that's what I'm saying, like, they fed into what we were thinking and what we were going with and to really put the effort in and fairness to them, like, we're getting home from training some nights at 11 o'clock and some of them are up at 4:30 in the morning to wait for work, you know.
Jesus.
So it's a very tough situation to be in, but like, I have no complaints from any of them, they really fed into it and got on with it and didn't complain about so tired or whatever. They just done the best of training, and what more can you ask?
Yeah. Is this a better team than last year's?
Probably a more balanced team, to be honest with you, you know, but like, even through to the 26th, like, we have some great men on the bench too, you know, that if we need, and we will need them, that we can have full confidence on them. So it would be probably a little bit better. Not as, like, we don't have any individual stars really this year, but we have a very balanced mixture of players, you know.
Right, okay. What's Sutcliffe like? I haven't never seen him playing football. How good is Danny? We know him as a hurler.
Yeah, no, he's quite good now. He's both feet and kicked both feet, and he's a very intelligent player, and he'll run all day for you. So no, I have no complaints with Daniel, and he'll try his best. He'll always give a full effort.
Right. What's the interest like in this game out there, Justin? Like, is the Irish community really rallying around it? But I suppose based on last year, they might think you have a right good chance.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I don't live in New York, so I don't see much of it apart from when I'm down for training or whatever. But you know, from what I'm hearing now, there's a huge buzz around McLean Avenue and that and Queens about the game and maybe the prospect of a victory, but we're not looking that far ahead yet now. But I think people are excited about it. There should be a big crowd there, so hopefully they'll be cheering us on and we can perform for them.
Yeah, I know you're not going to look too far ahead, but if you do win and become the first New York team ever to beat an Irish team out there, how the hell are you going to get everything organised in 2 weeks to get over to play Mayo?
I leave that to the county board.
Jesus, yeah, that'll take some going.
Yeah, so I don't know what is going to happen there now, but please God, it'll have to be done, and they'll manage it somewhere.
I was reading some quotes from you that were saying that if London are in the qualifiers, why can't New York be? Like, do you think that's a fair enough proposal for them? You know, financially, you think the GAA should foot the bill for you to travel over and enter the qualifiers?
Yeah. Well, I think it would be a fair thing to do for New York, like, because to be honest with you, after we got beat last year, you know, coming so close to beating at that time a Division One team, you know, and then you're saying, oh, we're out now, that's it till next year. And it's hard to improve from that actual game when you don't have another game for a year.
Yeah.
So if we could get another game, like a qualifier, and I know the financial thing about it is going to be high, but hey, I'd say whatever pitch that it'll be on in Connacht or wherever we'll be in Ireland would be pretty much a packed stadium because of all the players, like, from different counties, Ireland, and the families and friends and club mates from home would be going to these games, you know, if it did happen.
Yeah, but the problem with New York always, and like I've been out there, I spent 5 summers in different cities, twice in New York, and the problem with the club teams out there even going home is like over half the team are illegal out there and like they can't actually travel home even if they wanted to, so I'm not sure if that would even be logistically possible with the New York team.
Well, to be honest, we'd have about 90 to 95% fellas available to go home if we happen to win on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, so nowadays it's a lot of these guys are out with graduate visas and work visas. Not as difficult as it used to be to get these visas. They're not permanent residents or whatever, but they can travel.
Right.
So we would be lucky enough that way.
Okay.
If it was years ago and only 5 players could travel, obviously, right, there's no point in even thinking about going into a qualifier. But now it is different.
Nowadays it's different, right? And Camir, has there been any panic over there since Donald Trump became president with his kind of strict immigration laws, especially for people that are illegal? Because there is a big proportion of the Irish community out there illegal and the GAA community out there illegal. Has that calmed down now? Is the worry kind of subsided a little bit?
Yeah, there's not as much. He's not as vocal as he was about it, so people aren't, you know, they're not looking over their shoulders as much as they used to be now. But
they're all leaving their houses again.
yeah, they're all able to go out for a cup of coffee or whatever.
Right, okay. And come here, just before you go, you've 3 Sligo lads on the squad. Is that, how difficult is it to get those lads' heads right, knowing that they're playing their own county?
I'll be honest, it wasn't difficult at all. Like Vinny, the goalkeeper, like he played for us last year, and he came out to play for us again this year. And like he's a great lad. And Owen Flanagan there, he came out in December. He came out to work, obviously, but he was looking to play for New York as well. And then Colin Keane. So they're relishing the fact of playing against their own county now. There's no bitterness in them, but it's just okay. I'm going up against my buddies. I'm going to beat this guy for the ball, you know, or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, so like, I mean, they're actually motivated themselves to do it. I thought maybe it might be difficult for some of them to do it.
No, there's no issue there at all now, thank God. They're a good one.
So your only job left to do now is to find out what hotel Sligo are in and put something in the food there.
We've already organised that, don't worry.
Listen, Justin, thanks very much for taking the call.
All right, Colin, thanks a million.
Yeah, he's a man of few words, Conan. Justin, but it was nice to hear from him. And like, there are a lot of challenges, obviously, managing New York, as in you talk about Jim McGuinness taking over Donegal and he wanted a 4-year plan, like an Olympic kind of cycle. That's what he called it. So Justin O'Halloran can't do a 4-year plan. He can only do a 1-year plan because half his team will be gone next year and there will be another half of year sanctions, summer sanctions all coming in. So you're never really, you're just playing with the hand you're dealt with. And that's another thing of the GAA committing for New York coming to the qualifiers. That would be a great idea this year because they have a strong team. They come back to the qualifiers next year and they're beaten 420 to 3 points because they don't get, you know what I mean? They don't get the good players out. So it's, you can see it from the GAA point of view, the expense in it and the complete kind of unknown about what we're going to get year on year from New York is kind of, I suppose, the barrier to that.
It reminded me of when Keane Ward was on a few weeks ago and he said about there's no such thing as a 3-year or 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Every year is different. And I didn't agree at the time, but that is sort of what New York are doing. Like, it's just, let's see what sort of, almost like an underage team, let's just see what team we have this year and hope we've got a couple of gems in there. It's funny though, he's saying, like, there are boys out there who are looking to get away from football, like, and then he's all of a sudden they're getting pestered again then to come out for training 3 yeah. nights a week, 5 nights a week.
That's a funny one though, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, any summer I went to New York, I was leaving that inter-county stuff and that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
So to go out there and have to go back into that environment, like,
did you get contacted at all when you were out there?
No, because I only
that's
ever
worse
went,
than it for you.
I only went for the summer. They would have been knocked out before I got out. Do you know what I mean? It's the first round of the championship, so I never would have been over there in time to play for New York. I went 5 summers and one summer I came home at the end of the summer and went back out until Christmas. So I was never in the shake up for that. Do you know what I mean? You kind of need to be out in January, February training with them to kind of you know, be up for that, be in the mix for that panel. But it's interesting there, like, you often hear the Irish over there being called the undocumented Irish, and it's the nice euphemism for bloody illegal.
Yeah, illegal.
Because there are loads of them illegal out there, and like the idea, you go out to America and you tell immigration you're going on a 2-week holiday and you're entitled to a 3-month holiday visa, but you're saying you're coming back in 2 weeks and then you just land out there with no intentions of ever coming back. That's bloody illegal.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? That's illegal no matter what way you look at it. And the Irish out there, they know they're illegal. I've been around with them. I know a lot of these lads well. They know they're illegal. They know that one wrong turn and they could be sent home. Like, so the idea that you're illegal in a country and somebody wants, Donald Trump, who gets an awful hard time, wants to say, hang on, you're illegal. You're not supposed to be in my country by lying to immigration and actually cheating to get in here. Yeah. I'm going to send you home. A lot of things Donald Trump is a moron that I don't agree with, but that immigration of illegal aliens is probably one of the things I am a little bit more sympathetic towards him on.
Like, not to get into the whole political debate, Donald, but like that's always what his policy was to get out these illegal, whoever they are, like, you know, when it became known as a Muslim ban, like, you know, but he wanted to get rid of illegal people in the country and stop it coming in.
Yeah.
But now listening to that podcast, that wall's just got 10 feet higher again.
And Obama was doing the same thing, but that was just brushed. But like you said, we're not going to get into that because that's not what this podcast is about. Quickly before we go, the Astro, I was mentioning to Niall Carew, they've trained on Astro since the end of the league to take it this seriously. And I was mentioning to Niall about playing at the full forward line and the bounce is really what catches you. And that's something you really have to get used to. And it's something that you really kind of have to have in your head and know the ball you're giving in and time your runs from the full forward line. And I suppose the bounce all over the field, it's not just the full forward line. That's a huge challenge on Astro. And Niall was even saying things like there's some players that would be on the team if the game was in Ireland, and there's some players that are more suited to Astro and they're playing because New York. Yeah. So it's a real weird dynamic on the whole thing.
I love Astro. I love playing on it. I'd probably trade that bounce because it's consistent for like what we have here. Sometimes you don't know what sort of bounce you're going to get off a divot or off a soggy old pitch, and I don't know, I've got pokey legs, I hate like soft ground, like I love when it's hard and you feel like you feel a bit more powerful, you're bouncing over it. I always felt fresher on Astro. I know boys whinge about their knees and that, but I never really felt that, like I just felt better all the time playing on Astro.
Yeah.
And I never got, like, even soccer and now with New York and stuff, I never got the complaint about it really. The bounce is maybe one thing, but for me, Astro, it doesn't even matter if it's raining. It always seems that it's going to be a consistent game.
Yeah, the burn is a bit of a killer when you slide on. That's one of the drawbacks. But anyways, listen, we're looking forward to the game, even though that kind of enthusiasm is not reflected within the GEA itself. It's like, get this shit over and let's actually move on, seems to be the attitude. But we're looking forward to it anyway, and it is on Sunday in Gaelic Park in New York. New York versus Sligo.
8:15 p.m. is it our time?
I think it's 8:15 p.m. and we're not, it's not even being streamed. That's the most disappointing thing. I don't want to get back into this again, but I will quickly. Like, I remember when there was a replay, was it Kilkenny and Galway played in a replay and it was clashing with a football match, and RT streamed it online. So, like, why not? Why could that not be even streamed online, even if it's not a live game? Like, stream it online. Let us see the bloody game.
There's going to be cameras at it. Like.
If there's cameras at it, stream it. Like, there's no real excuse for not at least streaming it. But anyways, we're not getting into that. We talked about that enough. That's all we have time for. We won't have a podcast on Monday because, look, we can't see the game. I'm not going to get into that for a third time. But we'll be back next Thursday and we'll do a championship preview, and we might get Stevie and Keane Ward in, and we'll preview the whole championship, because the championship is starting again the following week again.
So properly.
We'll be back on next Thursday with a championship preview. Good luck.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.